questions.
Yeah, any questions about that?
I've been playing slightly longer than these guys. I'll let them catch up. You wait. You just wait. That was a D tuning. That was just an open D tuning.
And you switch guitar, when you switch, you're switching tunings, or you're always in D? When you switch, no, but you're always in D. Is it always in D tuning?
I mean the blank stare. when I switched...
You have two?
When I switch guitars, it's usually from G to D.
Okay, thanks. How about strings?
I'm sorry?
The origin.
Okay. Michael. Doing this for quite some time.
Well, I'll make this brief.
Don't tell them about the clown suits and the blacked out teeth.
Oh, come on now. You know that's the only story I know. Well, just fill in the blanks here. I'm running on no sleep for 36 hours, so help me out.
Okay, Andy.
Yes. Let's see. I don't know. The origin of the Dobro as I know it. Jerry Douglas as a little baby went out and made a Dobro. And then, I don't know. They all came around.
Back to you, Michael.
All right. So these brothers looking for a way to make the guitar louder. This is before electric guitars. So they invented this cone, this acoustic amplifier, and they put it in a box, and somebody decided, you know, hey, the guitar, it's way too easy to play, so let's make this really stupid and take away
sort
our,
like
our
golf.
Fingers. Yeah.
Like a tiny ball and we'll hit it really far at this little hole.
So take away your fingers and play it with a little slide, and it's pretty much the dumbest way to play the guitar, I think. And still use your hands. But it sounds cool. You know, it sounds cool.
That's not exactly what I was going to say.
How about you, Jerry?
Back to you, Andy.
Well, Jerry was born.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess... He talked about the Dopera brothers who were from Slovakia. Is that where they're from?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just before amplifiers. You know, they had to figure out ways to make it louder, and so first it was steel. You know, all metal body Nationals, I believe, and then they started making the wood bodies, and Hawaiian music came along, and I think that was sort of the Hawaiian blues were sort of the first slide repertoire. And then they kind of, it melded into country with Oswald Kirby, I believe, who was one of the first to take it into country music, and that was sort of the initial path it took towards this, I guess. Thank you. I heard it was on a banjo.
A bottle over somebody's head and went, and it happened to land on the guitar player's hand while he was going for some chord, and he went, wow. We used to play the porch in the South. You put a big long wire, you put a nail at each end of the porch, you'd put a long wire on the between them, and you'd play that, and you'd have brother or sister run up and down with a stick of rocks.
You attached each end to a cow, and they walked. But slide. And the sound has remained the same ever since.
We've been trying to make that sound ever since. But, you know, actually, Josh Graves was the guy who, to me, made this an obvious choice to play for me. I was fortunate enough to see Flatten Scruggs when I was a little kid, to see him play live, and I actually saw an Aubrey Package show come through northeastern Ohio where I lived, which was a very rare occurrence. And I got to see Bashful Brother Oswald play with Roy Acuff and see Josh Graves play with Flatten Scruggs the same night, and I was just like, that's for me. And it looks really cool. And after that, you know, it's just sort of gone in steps and increments, you know, learning how to play the instrument, because it's such a new instrument to all of this, you know. If you compare it to the violin or the guitar or mandolin, banjos, anything like that, it's a new instrument. So there's all this open territory which these guys are exposing all the time. And so the sky's the limit. And
When did it get flat?
Yeah. Well, you mean on the lap? Lap?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's what I thought you meant. I was going to check the tuner, you know. But that could have happened just moments ago. But everybody, you know, there was this big Hawaiian craze in the 20s. It was a huge Hawaiian craze. Everybody wanted to play Hawaiian guitars, didn't you? And they had guys going from door to door, you know, giving little kids, selling them these cheap little boards with strings on them that you plugged into a small amplifier and drive your parents crazy until the guy came back through the next month to give you your next lesson. And so that's kind of how a lot of these things got scattered around the country. They were in Sears and Roebuck catalogs. They were everywhere. And you could buy one for, you know, $25, $36. That's gone. But they just kept getting better. The Dopera brothers got so lucky right away. They did all this stuff in it, and the thing sounded great. And they really, you know, being from Slovakia, they like this loud, loud marching band, oompa kind of band music. Hawaiian music, it just wasn't cutting it. Wasn't loud enough. So that's when they invented this speaker thing. That's what Michael was talking about. And so they put that in there and made the guitar loud enough for people to sing with, because up to that point, the singer had to be kind of quiet if he wanted his guitar accompaniment to come up to the level that helped his voice, accompanied his voice. And as soon as the blues player saw these things, he went, "We're getting those." So, you know, Buck White, you know, a lot of these guys were playing national guitars, but a lot of dobro wooden body guitars in the 40s, because of the war effort, they had to cut back on the metal. So, you know, so they started making wooden body guitars. The Doperas actually saw this coming and bailed out of National just in time to get, I don't know if they ever got rich, but they make not for 25 bucks a pop, but they were selling these things, and, you know, like I said, there were orchestras, like a whole, you know, 100 people standing there with a dobro, man, I would just love to, but with earplugs. And, so that's it, dobro history encapsulated. Is that, how's that? Question about the banjo. No thanks.
When do you like to use your Weissenborns?
Weissenborns are a really mellow type. I think you play one a lot, don't you? And they're really cool. They're kind of a texture instrument, more or less. You can't get blasting loud unless you're Ben Harper and you plug into a Marshall. And he finally had to stop because they were exploding in his hands. They weren't really made for that, but. But do you want to comment on the Weissenborn guitars?
I mean, you have a choice of style, or you play
with? Well, it depends on the situation, the song. It depends on the sonic space available. You know, if you're playing with a big heavy band, the only time I didn't really get away with it. I think when you're, it really loans itself, you know, to on blues or really pretty spatial music, you know. Hawaiian music, okay, goes without saying. But when there's a place when there isn't a big heavy band and there's a real wooden sort of environment going on, they're really nice guitars. It's hard for them to compete with big, loud, jangly people. It's sort of a short song. The part I know, I only learned the Tut Taylor song. Yeah. You got to play with a flat pick, and I don't have one.